Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Upgrades to our mental and immune systems, changes to our identities and value systems, new levels of intuition, synchronicities and freedom, and new information about the relationship between the sun, earth and our bodies. All this and more in this month's edition of the Energy and Integration series, in which internationally respected authors, speakers and spiritual facilitators Jim Self, Lee Harris and Susie Miller join me to share their insights on what is going on energetically, along with practical suggestions for helping you stabilize and integrate the energies so you can make the most of the transformational opportunities they're bringing. First up is founder of Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self, whose course in Mastering Alchemy and eponymous book, with their practical energy tools and consciousness altering lessons, have helped many thousands of people across the globe. Jim Self, welcome.
Hi, Cindy. Delightful to be here with you as always.
Well, I think many people have been feeling as if they've been in a holding pattern ever since the year began. And then suddenly this month, things seem to be going haywire. The energy seems to be shifting rapidly. I know when we spoke a few days ago, you said that there's a number of things that you're noticing, but chief among them is the relationship between the sun, earth, and magnetic levels that's affecting our immune systems. So let's start with that, Jim. Tell us more.
So this relationship between the sun and the earth is beginning to be actually understood more so. So, I mean, we've all known the sun is what heats us, etc. But from a scientific standpoint, there's beginning to be a much greater understanding of the relationship between things like sunspots and high and low pressure zones on the earth, how the weather gets constructed. But one of the things that is happening is the earth's magnetic field is breaking down. Now, this has been going on for a good 100 years or so, and it's broken down about 10% over the last 100 years, and in the last 7 or 8 years, it's broken down another almost 10%. So as this magnetic field begins to change, the reality of our experience is beginning to change. This takes a little bit more discussion, but basically that magnetic field, as how it has been structured from a consciousness standpoint, is what we call the third dimensional reality. Now, I don't mean the tree, the house, the chair, the physical form. I mean the construct in which the brain and which you and I interact with each other occur. So as this magnetic field is breaking down, and it's breaking down so that many of these new cosmic waves, X-rays, all of these different new forms of light are coming in, there is not only physical changes happening on the Earth, but there's physical changes happening to you and me individually very significantly. And one of the things that the archangelics and I and others have been talking about for the last few months is that there are many people, for example, over the last maybe 6 months that have been getting sick, and they've had different kinds of flus and different kinds of coughs and different kinds of illnesses that are lasting a longer period of time. And we keep thinking that it's us being sick, but it's not so much us being sick as it's the immune system is being adapted and expanded and upgraded. And in that space, people are getting sick. But think about it as a vaccination. You get a small dose of an illness, a virus, and then beyond that, the immune system takes over. And that's what we're beginning to see in that way.
Sounds like we've got some background interference going on.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not on my side.
Yes, not on my end either.
Yeah, I hear. Yeah.
Oh, well, let's plow on. It's really interesting because I've been noticing how many new diseases seem to be cropping up. I mean, just this past week, I've read, you know, two or three articles about a very, very rare disease, which is eye cancer, suddenly occurring in big clumps in certain areas. So if this is affecting our immune system, you know, what protection do we have?
Well, you know, one of the things is we humans and both our arrogance and our ignorance thinks we can fix everything. And at this level, you're talking about the sun, the magnetic fields, the solar system, the magnetic fields of the body. And we're in a very significant transition period. One of the things that we've talked about numbers of times in the past is there are many human beings that, as in a spiritual space, they're basically saying, I can't do this. I just simply can't step up into this next level of consciousness as much as I want to. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to simply leave the body over the next number of years. And so I read that same study about eye cancer. And there's more. There's numbers of different illnesses that are beginning to be more pervasive. So one of the things for many of the spiritual community is begin to recognize that you are changing. And as you look at a lot of the human reality, you watch people arguing for their limitations. I mean, it's like, not being political, but you've got a Donald Trump who is disrupting. He's a disruptor, or I say that not negatively or positively, but a very big disruptor of what was. And then you get a circumstance like Fox News and CNN arguing the duality, which really has virtually nothing to do with what's going on except the arguing for the sake of arguing. Now, I'm not meaning to be political, but as this awareness in the shifting consciousness is happening, and Lee Harris did a really nice job in his May message, and he'll probably talk about it in a few minutes, but one of the things that is very much happening is your intelligence is expanding. You are becoming more aware of what you don't want, in a way, and you're becoming more aware of what is being made available. And so you're creating a tremendous state of freedom, but it's in that space where we're arguing against and trying to perceive it from where we have been, rather than simply taking a breath, grounding, being very much in present time, and recognizing the terrain, the backdrop, the environment, is actually in a very shifting state of consciousness, very exciting and also or very depressing, depending on your view of the glass half full or half empty. But be very clear, it's all about freedom. It's all about the ability to perceive and create the environment and your reality. And everything that doesn't support that is coming to the surface and falling away.
Well, we all want to evolve, but we do like to hang on to all of the known old stuff that made us comfortable as well. We can't have it both ways.
Well, this is interesting, too. You can't take your baggage with you on this journey, but at the same time, you can basically elevate to a perspective where you can see baggage, yours and others, and simply not engage with it, resistant, put against it. And as you begin to find well-being, the thing that is happening is what is not vibrating at well-being in your space when you are at well-being begins to dissolve, short-circuit, and dissipate. So the old adage is, I've got to heal myself, I've got to keep working on clearing and cleansing, actually doesn't apply in the same magnitude as it has in the past. If you can begin to like yourself, get into a state of this well-being, have a sense of yourself as capable and certain in enjoyment, every moment you hold that and enjoy it, everything unlike it in this new dimensional shift is basically starting to fall away. And so the easiest thing I could say and the hardest thing to be heard is like yourself. And that's where the freedom is really beginning to be made available. But liking yourself is not something that we have done in our history. And to simply become selfish in the side of the stick, if you would, that says give to yourself, have for yourself. That's something that's very hard for people who have grown up in an environment of lack and not being okay.
And yet, it's, you know, it's something that everybody, certainly in the spiritual community, has been working toward for so long.
Yes and no. In my observation, we've been working at it in the context of talking about working at it. Many are really doing tremendous work. But when I watch spiritual folks, quite often what I see is I can talk a good game, but am I willing to let go of my baggage? Am I willing to simply find the feeling of capable and begin to live it? And that's a mental shift and an emotional feeling shift that is pushing on people right now, and many are being pushed into well-being. It's quite exciting, but the key is really like yourself.
You just spoke about things unlike the frequency or vibration that we're resonating at falling away if they are not a match. One of the other things that you mentioned to me earlier this week is how vibrational connection, that we're beginning to discover so much about it. And you mentioned that earthquakes, there's some evidence that they're not actually caused by shifting plates, but by a kind of vibrational resonance or dissonance that's going on. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is again part of that sun magnetic earth relationship. It's very symbiotic. It's very much if X, then Y happens between the earth and the sun. But the science is beginning to become more and more sophisticated. And they're starting to understand that as certain things happen on the sun, there begins to be an electromagnetic resonance shift in the earth to where this earthquake happens, and it's a vibrational pattern that begins to be electrically generated, not so much the tectonic plates or the earth pushing against itself. They've gotten so specific with this that they can basically say tomorrow, in this part of the world, within hundreds of miles, there will be an earthquake that should be about a 6.2 earthquake. They've been remarkably successful in doing that. And the whole nature of earthquake volcanic science is actually in a tremendous positive turmoil that's beginning to have an entirely different body of information available to basically talk about what's in the process, whether it's volcanic earthquakes, as well as the nature of the storms that are beginning to be seen more and more, such as hurricanes.
Well, I want to make sure that people understand the connection here, because it's not just happening to the earth, it's happening to us too. You know, those frequencies, those vibrational waves are definitely changing us. I mean, you talk about new human species evolving. Susie Miller's been talking about that for a long time, and the kids, you know, the autistic kids, the kids of today, are very much evidence of that. Can you just speak a little bit about that before we have to finish?
Well, this shift, everything is about the shift in consciousness. And again, in both our excitement, our arrogance, our ignorance, we humans generally try to have everything in instant gratification or expect it to be an answer right now. And if you step back and you look at history, even just look at economies, the agricultural industry to the industrial industry to the computer age to this age of artificial intelligence, these are really rapid changes that are unfolding. And when you start to look at and apply that same level of alteration on a vibrational level, a consciousness level, the human body and the consciousness of each one of us is transitioning significantly rapidly. If you stop and look at your environment, I don't mean trees and plants, I mean your backdrop, who are you in relationship to how you navigate the world, just stop and pause and realize how many things you're doing different, encountering different today than you were even last year. But most of us just transition from day to day to day to day, and we don't pay attention or notice actually what's happening around us and what's happening to us. But that half full, half empty glass concept, if you can get excited about and allow a cold to linger for a period of time and begin to have a consideration of maybe my immune system's being amped up, improved, and expanded versus, oh, what's wrong with me? My glass is half empty. You're going to find the perception of the shift is going to all of a sudden start to be more and more engaging and exciting.
Well, you've always talked about being in the world, not of the world. And I think this is something we certainly are getting plenty of opportunity to practice. I mean, there are so many, you know, changes and shocking things happening in the world that if we don't want to get caught up in that, we're just going to have to practice, you know, looking at it from a higher perspective.
Yeah, and that higher perspective actually requires to be perceived from in the body. It's not a philosophical perspective. It really is being grounded, being in the center of your head, observing from a present time neutral space, and then choosing an action that supports you rather than shoot, ready, aim. And that ability to get into present time or just here I am, take a breath, is really opening up this aspect of freedom, this aspect of perception. Very much is available to you that when we just assume yesterday is kind of like today, we miss what is being made available. And on a vibrational level, on a physiology level, very much on a emotional, mental level, there's many, many changes. The nature of what is an emotion and what is a feeling and what is a sensation is a huge piece of information to begin to perceive how you navigate very differently than how you have in the past.
Jim, thank you. We're going to have to leave it there and go to break, but thank you very much, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, Sandy. Always enjoy being here with you.
Bye. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and we'll be back after this break with energy guide, author, intuitive, and channeler Lee Harris.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, this is Dr. Donice Warden, and I'm excited to tell you about homeopathic injections from Hevert Pharmaceuticals. I utilize them in my practice for pain, inflammation, depression, and other medical conditions. I'm achieving excellent results, and I've seen no adverse reactions. I encourage you to explore these novel treatments.
Call Hevert today at 855-387-6466. To find a practitioner in your area to administer these FDA-registered medications. 855-387-6466.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and welcome also to energy guide, intuitive, channeler, artist, author, and musician Lee Harris. Lee, hello.
Hi, Sandy. Great to be with you and everyone this month.
Yeah, good to talk with you again. Always is. So your latest energy update, you're talking about mental upgrades and identity changes. And it's really interesting because astrologically, this is what this time is all about. Our identities have to shift and evolve. But you say that it's a double whammy that we're experiencing because the planet is going through a massive shift in identity too. And part of this process is experiencing mental elevation. What do you mean by that phrase, mental elevation? Lee, have we lost you? Hello?
Hi, Sandy.
I think we lost you there. Hi, so...
Sorry, I just had to shift my identity before we carried on.
Oh, good. Have you got the right one on now?
Yeah, I think so. We got cosmically cut off. I did hear what you were saying right before I got cut off, Sandy. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Before I do an energy update, I always get quite a download in the day or two before. And the one thing that really hit me before doing this one was just how cosmic everything is feeling. And I think we all have different relationships to the idea of being part of a bigger universe. I think some people are very Earth-identified. I know there are other people who are very interested in other planets and other life. I'm probably somewhere in the middle. But for me, this cosmic energy, it speaks of things like more telepathy. So how I translate that is synchronicity. You're thinking of your friend and all of a sudden your friend texts you, or you have a thought about, oh, I need to go to that store. I don't know how I'm going to get there and get that thing. And all of a sudden that thing appears for you somewhere else. So that cosmic energy for me is part of the identity shift. And it's something that I've been told by the Z's who I channel for many years. They've said that as you go through these coming years and your identities change, you're all going to realize how much more connected to the fabric of the universe that you are. But you've been educated to believe that you're, you know, very much the human world, the earth world, and only that world. And so that's how I'm experiencing and witnessing people getting in touch with this, if you like, human upgrade. And I loved how Jim spoke about it, actually. The resonance and being drawn to people that you are more able to perhaps collaborate with or learn with. And I think for many of us who've been in the personal development or spiritual world and pursuit for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, everybody has reported there's been quite a shift since, you know, 2010, 2012 onwards. And I think for many years, everyone just felt disoriented with it. But the message that was coming for me is this next few years, it's going to see the real building of that identity. So not only for the rest of the planet will we actually start to see the forming of what the new planet's going to look like step by step, but also for us personally, that was what I enjoyed about the feeling of May onwards. It's going to start to be easier for you to build out parts of your new identity, your new life, which will rely a lot less on your past or form than they ever have before. And as we know, that takes some getting used to, because that's not how any of us were raised. So it's definitely an adjustment.
You also talk about mental revelation. So, you know, in what context are you using that?
Well, you know, and again, these are things that come to me. They're not things that I, you know, I was quite surprised by that. But when I spoke to my guides, they were talking about, and this is something I touched on at the end of my video, my message. I think often in the spiritual self-development world, the mind can be villainized by us. You know, it's like, oh, we have to overcome the mind. The mind is the ego. And that's, for me, that's never been my whole truth. And one thing that they were talking about was you're going to get a whole new level of mental clarity about things that perhaps have been a little murky before. So I'll give you an example. It's a little bit like, let's say you've been dating someone or you've been, you know, partnered with someone for a few years, and there are things going on in that relationship that you don't feel great about, but you don't really know why, and you're not at a place where the two of you separate. When two people separate, they usually look back over the last year or two, or, you know, if it's a short dating period, they usually look back and start to have revelations about what exactly was going on that was dissonant between them. But at the time, because they were merged, they couldn't really see it. They could feel that things weren't clicking, but they hadn't got the revelation or the mental clarity. So there was this message that a lot of people, they're going to get mental clarity in this month and the months to come in a way that perhaps you may not have had for 2 or 3 years. I feel there has been an impulse for people to make changes in the last few years, and I've met many people along my way path who've said, I know something's got to shift, but I don't know what it is. And the message they were bringing was the mental piece is needed for us to create and act on the earth, you know, for us to bring things into reality. We do use our minds and our logic, and that's an important part of the whole picture. So that energy is going to be moving in for a lot of people. So it can lead to making big changes. It can be an epiphany of why you felt off with something, but you didn't know what to do. So kind of a strong energy of that, which is interesting because that's not normally something I'm talking about. So the fact that it came up, I was like, oh, okay, well, this must be in the air for a lot of people, because normally people don't really want me to talk about the mental, but it was very strong.
Well, it's interesting because everything you're saying is so aligned with the astrology. And, you know, that's where
I often
look for, you know, information. And we've got Uranus entering Taurus on May the 15th for the first time in 80 years. And that's a disruptive change, redoing. It frees us from thinking inside the box, offers us opportunities. You know, sudden and unexpected change. We get disruptions to our beliefs about all kinds of things, our values. And we get surprises as well, and a break from the safe and predictable characteristics, you know, that we've lived with for so long. So this all sounds pretty good. Everybody resists change. Most people think it can only be bad. But I've observed that we always do our utmost to make it as comfortable as possible for ourselves as soon as possible. And if there's freedom in it, my goodness, then we're free to create anything, aren't we?
Yeah, but I love that you're bringing this up. I just did a training in San Diego this past 5 days this week, and it was really helping creators, leaders, change makers go to the next level. And I mean, I've talked about this for years, and I think a lot of people talk about this, but as someone who has been a lifelong creator, I know that if I have some level of fear, anxiety, or apprehension about what I'm going to create, it's probably going to be good. Because if we don't have some level of energy shift, I believe that we create things in our lives or in the world for other people that are supposed to evolve us. So sometimes we create an emotional conversation with our mother that perhaps our mother and I and us never really have, but we're willing to be the leader to have that difficult conversation. And that's going to move us forward. But before we do it, we're nervous because we don't really know how it's going to go. And we're leaving our safety and our comfort zone. Equally, you know, Sandy, you might want to write a book that you feel so passionate about, but just as you hit send to the publisher, you panic because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to put this out there. And the truth is, it's going to change our identity. So anytime we create something new, it changes who we are. It changes who we are in the perception of the person. So for example, our mother, suddenly there'll be an adjustment in our relationship because you've led the way in an area you never have. If you become a published author or you do something that's creative in the outside world, people are going to look at you slightly differently, and that's going to have an effect on you. So I think we're coming into a time where more of us are getting a bit more comfortable with this idea that the comfort zone is actually often a dead place, even though sometimes we need it to kind of keep us balanced. And I think the younger generation, I mean, I'm 42 now, but I think the younger generation certainly are coming into this fast and furious time that we're in, and they're quite used to it. But for those of us who are older, We didn't grow up in that level of speed or that level of stimulation or this internet, which connects us all and has a real effect on the hive mind of people, I think. To me, the internet kind of represents telepathy in a way.
Mm, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That, to me, it's the bridge until we get to the point where we realize that we can communicate telepathically. You know, we yeah. need the internet. Yeah. And you're right, because, you know, the interesting thing about change is that if we just switch our perception and see it as evolution, it takes on a whole new perspective, doesn't it?
It does, but I don't know about you, Sandy. I know I can now say at this point in my life, I find that easy and exciting.
Yes.
If you'd have met me 15 years ago, I'd have been very nervous about it. And I mean, you know, all along the way, there have been different moments where I felt nervous about change. But it's definitely, it shows you how ingrained we are or how programmed we have all become by our societal norms to fear change rather than embrace it and actually see it as a part of life. I think that we really suffer in our Western society around aging. I don't think there's enough education or awareness around you're going to age, you're going to change, your energy will change, your body will change, your face will change. So I often think there's a lot of grief for people in the aging process that doesn't need to be there. If from an early age, we really talked about the span of a life, if you're lucky enough to have a long life, and really embrace that. So I think there's been a lot that's been taken away from us in the programming and the conditioning that we've been given that's designed to keep us a bit powerless and a bit afraid.
Yes. Yeah.
And I do love seeing more and more things coming in onto the planet that people can find a place to better understand themselves, the journey of the soul, and this idea that I firmly believe in, which is we're here to contribute. And, you know, sometimes we might need to heal or receive in order to get back to the point where we're at our zero point, where we can start to contribute again. But I really believe we're here to evolve and learn and then to give back. That's my philosophy about when we're aligned, it's easy for us to be in that wheel of giving and receiving.
Mm. Now, one of the things that you talk about in your energy update this month is about cultivating joy. Tell us a little bit about that, and what recommendations can you make to help people who are going through a little bit of an nervous period, feeling the
yeah.
energy shifting, to help them create joy?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We were in Santa Fe at the beginning of April, and I did an energy mastery experience for 3 days, and I knew that the topic was going to be cultivating joy a few days before. But when we landed in Santa Fe, which I've visited many times, and I love Santa Fe, I suddenly realized why. Because Santa Fe is one of the most extraordinarily present places I have been in America. People in Santa Fe, they have a slower pace and speed in their life. There is a real connection to the land and to history, and people are really present. When you walk around the town, people are with you, and they're there. And to me, cultivating joy is having enough space and time to cultivate presence. You know, if you're a busy mom, do you not get 1 minute from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.? Or have you managed to carve out some times where, you know, your kids can have a moment without you so that you can be present, even if it means just going into the garden and looking at a tree for 5 minutes and having no external stimulation coming at you? So for me, cultivating joy is presence. But one thing that came through the channeled message was, joy is either a balm or it's fuel. So sometimes we need joy to help us heal. So if we've had a really rough time, joy could show up. It might not look like high excitement, but it might just look like contentment, or it might look like 10, 20 minutes of peace. And as that enters you energetically, it starts to let you cry and realize how stressed you've been, or start to release how difficult your past year has been if you've been nursing someone through ill health. Anything like that. But then equally, when we get back to that zero point that I spoke about early enough, if our life circumstances allow us to and our healing, then joy becomes fuel. So for others, the experience of joy can be high excitement. It can be feeling lit up about what you're doing in the world, or it can be having a brilliant moment with a taxi driver or someone in a shop that just opens your heart, and you walk away and you go, wow, I feel connected. And that's the first time in 3 days I felt a deep sense of presence and connection with another human being. So for me, joy is presence, and that's where I really go back to. I've realized I value contentment more than I value high excitement. I used to think I valued high excitement, and I realize now that I value a certain baseline of contentment. And I'm very aware that we're in a very privileged position in our society. There are people in the world and in our own society who are so far away from that because of the circumstances they're living in. So if you can cultivate joy for yourself, you can then share it around and offer it to people through action, through a loving look, through support. So that was the message. It was like, it's really important for us to cultivate this so we can share it and give it. And I really deeply connected to that message.
And you also say that intuition's on the rise. That, are you noticing that people are getting more intuitive?
Well, it's interesting. I've heard that from more people. And I think, I don't know about you, Sandy, I think it's just so much more in our culture, the way that people speak about things. Like, I notice the language that I'm seeing on Facebook, and I don't even mean on spiritual or personal development web pages. There is an emotional intelligence and an emotional awareness on our planet now that feels very different to 20, 30 years ago, that's kind of proliferating into mainstream culture in perhaps non-overt ways, but it's definitely there. And I think a lot of the young people who I meet, young, 25 and under, unless they're dealing with damage or restriction and they haven't yet been able to unpick themselves from that, they're very present and very emotionally available and ready compared to how I believe we all were when I grew up. So I'm really seeing that. So to me, intuition and emotional intelligence are very linked, because intuition to me is not a psychic third eye piece of information. It can be that, but it's actually a bodily sense. So most empaths, people who are feeling a lot, can walk into a room and tell who's feeling a bit off. So, the person you walk up to, you say, how are you? And they go, oh, yes, I'm fine, thank you. But you can tell that the words do not correlate with the feeling. And I think people are getting better at reading that and getting more adept with it. So to me, intuition in very grounded ways is beginning to show up. And what that promotes is a deeper level of connection and understanding between us all. That's my perception or take on it anyway.
I agree with you. Lee Harris, thank you for sharing your wisdom and insights with us today. See you next month.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Lee. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and after the break, we'll be hearing from visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator, and multidimensional seer, Susie Miller. So don't go away.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, this is Dr. Donice Warden, and I'm excited to tell you about homeopathic injections from Hevert Pharmaceuticals. I utilize them in my practice for pain, inflammation, depression, and other medical conditions. I'm achieving excellent results, and I've seen no adverse reactions. I encourage you to explore these novel treatments.
Call Hevert today at 855-387-6466. To find a practitioner in your area to administer these FDA-registered medications. 855-387-6466.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, and welcome back to Susie Miller. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Sandy. How are
you? I'm good, thank you. And last month, we had to end the show rather hurriedly. I've been wanting our listeners to experience your legendary ability to balance and integrate the energy. So this month we're going to do it a little bit earlier in the show so people get a chance to really feel that. Excuse me. So Susie, before we do that, in your newsletter you said that as we move into May, we're asked to put everything that we've become into practical application. So what does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, it means that, you know, like Lee and Jim were stating, that, you know, we're being upgraded right now. Our neurology is changing, our biology, our psychology, and we're not just in a way where we're kind of maybe not in a way that we are just kind of thinking about these things, but we're really beginning now to notice that we don't think the way we used to think. We don't express the way we used to express. We have skill sets that we didn't have before. We have levels of telepathy or awareness that we didn't have access to before. And so as we step into May and further into this year, we're being asked to not just consider these as potentials and possibilities, but to actually act as these skills require. And so, you know, Lee was saying a minute ago about coming into, you know, a party, into a situation, and you know how people feel, you have that telepathic connection, those kinds of things. In my world right now, that's kind of being upgraded exponentially. And so there is telepathic information that is available, not just in our present environments, but in broader environments. And so we're being asked to do simple things like, hey, I have this information coming, and I don't know where it's coming from. And so what's the logical thing to do is ask, you know, where is it coming from? And so, but what we might be surprised about as we move in from, you know, May on, we may be surprised that we actually get the information, that some part of us, that bigger part of ourselves that we've already grown into, is going to be responding to us. It's going to be responding to that part of us that's still asking the questions. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. You also talk about where we've got new levels of freedom in front of us. Now, freedom is one thing. New levels of freedom, I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, again, you know, new levels of freedom always go hand in hand with new levels of responsibility, you know, new levels of awareness, right? And so if our neurology, biology, psychology has been upgraded to the point now that we are aware that we have new skills, we are aware that we're functioning in new ways, then we're also aware that we can make new choices. And with any degree of new choice, we have new degrees of freedom that go with it as well.
It's interesting that we don't, you know, we think, oh, I haven't changed much in my life. I may have grown, you know, I may look a bit older. But every now and then we get an opportunity. I mean, I had one such opportunity yesterday talking to someone that I haven't spoken to for 12 years. And in both of us giving an update on what's going on and our interpretations of that, we both realized how much we have evolved, how different
right.
we are. Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, do you have any suggestions for how people can begin to, you know, it's hard to step out of yourself and look at yourself and be aware
right.
of who you are. Do you have suggestions for that or techniques?
Well, I think that one of the things is to pay more attention to the inner energetic dance, the inner information that's going on instead of the outer information. I think we can get so caught up in the noise that's outside of us that we have a tendency to just completely negate the subtle and not so subtle changes that are going on within us. So, you know, we can all notice at any given point that maybe we responded to something in a way that in the past we would have reacted to it, you know, or maybe we react to it still, but we react to it from with a little bit more distance. That's a change. That's a change in consciousness. And, you know, I think sometimes it's a maybe perceived as a subtle change, but when we place our attention on those subtle changes, we begin to be fed more and more information about how we are actually evolving. And that information is, from my vantage point, it's only meant to come from outside sources for a period of time. That's part of our evolution and our growth. But at some point, that awareness begins to shift internally, so that nobody has to tell you, like in your conversation with your friend, nobody had to tell you, he didn't even have to tell you that you had changed. Just by listening to him and listening to the conversation that you had with him and the kinds of conversations you had 12 years ago, you knew that you had changed, right?
Mm, yeah.
And so this is going to become more and more predominant as we move from May on. We're just going to be so much more aware of how we have shifted, how we have changed. And as we put our attention point there, we will get more and more subtle information about how we've changed. We'll hear that voice. I'll call it maybe the voice that we've grown into. We'll hear that voice as our more predominant voice versus hearing the voice of either, you know, the outer landscape or all the noise out there, or even the voice of maybe the voice of limitation within ourselves or the voice of skepticism within about ourselves. Though, if we really start paying attention to how am I different today than I was yesterday, if we just ask that question, all of a sudden you're going to start to notice the subtle and not so subtle changes that have been going on in your neurology, biology, and psychology. Once we know that, once we become aware of that, it becomes much easier to function from that reality. Right?
Yeah. Thank you, Susie. I would like us to experience I don't want us to run out of time this month.
okay.
And I know with so much change going on and you being such a great believer in integration, let's have a session. Give us a sample of what you do.
Okay. All right. Great. So one of the things that I want to say before we start this is that it's my belief that there are a vast array of aspects of ourselves that make up our totality. And we can only integrate as much as we can integrate at any given time. We can only integrate what we are becoming conscious of. And so this is another reason why I'm suggesting that we pay attention to subtle changes in ourselves, because those subtle changes are directly related to more subtle aspects of our being that are now ready to be integrated. So for the sake of this particular process, what I'd like to do is, what I'm asking is that the collective consciousness of everybody that's listening to this is simply kind of throwing up the energy that wants to be integrated at this point. So the very first thing that comes up, even when I just say that, within this collective consciousness is the energy of, and we talked about it, you talked about it a little bit with Jim, but this whole idea of fear of change, you know, does change have to be fear-producing? And, you know, having just gone through a pretty significant one myself, I can say, yes, there are elements of fear, and yes, we can move through those fairly quickly and get on to what we're moving on to next. So not that fear is bad, as Lee was saying, but when fear stops us from moving forward in the ways that we are meant to move forward with this new level of neurology, biology, and psychology, that's when we start to miss some of our opportunities. So what I'd like to suggest is that everybody simply allow themselves to feel wherever fear may exist within them. Feel it in the body. Feel it as muscle tension. Feel it in the, maybe even in a cellular memory. Feel the fear wherever you feel it. And speaking to the creators that I know that we all are, very simply, command, not demand, but command, that all of the fear that's currently impeding your stepping forward with faith and with freedom and with full trust, let's just pull all of that energy up and out of your fields, all of them, all of the fields. And I want you to imagine that, like anti-gravity, this is just floating up and out of you, and you're going to place it in a sphere out in front of you. I put things in spheres because it unifies the energy. That in and of itself balances the energy. So put it all in that sphere. And now we're going to add a blue star to the center of that sphere. Blue stars in my world represent the totality of our being. So you're using your own totality to dismantle the energy. You're using the blue star to dismantle the totality, the energy of that fear. Using your own totality. There we go. Spin it all out until you see that sphere go clear. And seems like a little, really simple process, but it will pack a punch, I promise. So compress that sphere so that you actually add energy in the compression. That energy, that sphere is now clear. So compress it. And let's bring it right back into the center of the heart as an access point into all your fields and implode that into billions of frequencies of light. It'll restructure the fields so that fear is not magnetized to you the way it has been magnetized to you before. Okay, hold on a second. Let's see what else. Do we have time, Sandy, to do one more aspect here?
Probably not.
Okay.
No, probably not.
Okay. All right. So, one second here. Let's just, if everybody will just breathe back into their bodies for a second. Breathe back into the heart space. There you go. Okay. All right, yeah, that'll start some readjustment.
I got a bit carried away myself there when I opened my eyes and saw the time. I know you do this every month. You have sessions and hundreds upon hundreds of people join them. So, and I know because I've done it many times myself how powerful this is. I'd really be interested to hear from listeners what their experience is. Sounds simple, feels simple, but as you said, it really packs a punch. Susie, thank you. I know that you're going through lots of changes at the moment. Any last words of wisdom for anyone who needs a little bit of extra support there?
Yeah, I think, you know, I say this to myself as much to everybody else, is that, you know, we are evolving and we are becoming more than we've ever been before, you know, at this stage of the game, moment by moment, you know, day by day. And so trust your process. Trust that where you are being guided, you know, if you're being kicked out of something, then you're meant to be kicked out of it. If you are being drawn to something, you're meant to be drawn to it. So trust yourself. Trust it all.
Susie Miller, thank you for joining us.
That's it
for tonight's Energy and Integration Show. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. I hope you'll join us again on June 7th. And meantime, I'll be back next week. Look forward to speaking to you then.